you're hearing this before listening to the weekly show, are you sure you meant to do that? If not, stop now and go do that first.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
Welcome to Extra Large on Discourse.
What a nightmare.
That was all a bit sudden. Here. Actually, I'm going to have a wee and then we can talk about the things that we were all just starting to talk about.
I'm shame you don't have a wireless microphone.
Shut up, Ben.
I'll have a go for 10 minutes. How are you, Dylan?
I'm right. I'm lying.
How are you, chat room?
Do you have... Chat room. Oh, man. Does anyone else have the issue that I have with these? You know those 240-volt halogen GU10 light bulbs?
Mm-hmm.
The ones in my house blow constantly.
Are they in recesses?
No, they're in recesses and they're in offset. You know, the hanging down ones. I've got the people. So we rent, and the people who own this house decided to obviously did it up themselves at some point. They've made some very strange decisions, including almost every single light bulb in the house is one of these halogen things. There's almost no regular lights at all. At least a couple of the, they're all recessed in the lounge, and at least a couple of them in there don't work at all. Like, you put in your bulb in it, it doesn't work. And it's just, the whole house is going to burn down at some point, surely. Hopefully,
crazy.
Once we've left. Maybe just after we leave. Be an awful shame, wouldn't it, if something were to happen?
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse. So I actually, in some ways, the Game of Thrones thing, I never entirely bought into it. In some senses, but the overall story, I think, is clearly really good, even if, you know, individual bits of dialogue are patchy. Like, a lot of people think that Dink, what's his name, the little guy? Super fans. I always never thought, God, I need to check. It's like
Dink, he's a Lannister.
Dinkleman or something?
The dwarf Lannister.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But, no, there was like one line that some guy said at one point, I just about cracked out laughing. I love the setting. I love the
how much of it have you watched? How much have you watched?
I've just watched episode 3.
Out of 10?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, less than a third.
Yes.
I
actually recall someone may have told me that it reached a low spot and then it got better again. But I've never been a fantasy guy. I can't stand bloody David Eddings and the ilk.
Yeah.
The books.
His name is Peter Dinklage, and he's the Tyrion Lannister, the dwarf.
People
were like, man, his performance is so great. I think it's Americans saying that because they can't hear how bad his accent actually is. It's so bad. So every scene that he was in with his, you know, weird put-on accent, I was like, I don't entirely buy that. But then, I mean, I don't remember when things happened, Ben, so I'm not going to actually give you any detail because I don't want to spoil it. But I just suggest you stick with it and just try and follow the greater story rather than any given scene, because I think that the whole thing...
Oh, it's exciting. I mean, the North Wall and what lies below beyond and...
Have you watched... I don't think, for instance, that you've seen Golden Crown...
No.
I don't remember where that came, but I mean, there's things that happen and you're like, holy shit, seriously? I thought that blah, 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 but clearly not, because what? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I haven't seen a single episode of Game of Thrones.
What's your auntie been talking about? Don't forget to rewind the tape.
Yeah. I was also going to talk about UFC, but I'll talk about UFC some other time. People are not going to be interested in that. And people who are interested will already know about it.
I need to see if my auntie can send me the Hamish and Andy show that I forgot to tape tonight.
Australian.
The Hamish and Andy the
probably be on YouTube.
Podcast.
I would. The USA show.
Oh, is it on TV?
Yeah.
Oh, God, because I've been listening to the podcast. Their podcast is great, but...
They're neat.
I haven't watched the TV show. I love Hamish's humour.
You know,
I wish I was as quick-witted as he was.
You know who's really funny on the radio here that I'm surprised doesn't get more television work? I'm going to tell you. You don't have to guess.
No, I'm just helping the chat room with GU10s.
It's Fletch and Vaughan from The Edge. You ever listened to their...
Oh, I don't. I have a bit, but...
They're clever and funny. I mean, they're a bit dickish as well on The Edge, but they did make a show. They worked on a show. They did a show called Choice Cuts. A number of years ago, which was, you know, one of those YouTube clip shows. when it was popular. There was TubeTube as well at roughly the same time. And their show was brilliant.
I think that they might have hosted a pre-game event thing before the ice hockey a month or two ago. They were all right.
That wouldn't be surprising.
They were all right.
I've listened to some of their stuff. They don't do it for me.
All right.
Hey, guess what? We've got another talent show entry. Sucked in, Ben.
You're going to have to give away the phones, Ben.
Now, listeners, you've only got a 50% chance of winning. All right. What else did we have to rush through? Are you about to run off, Ben?
Oh, in five or ten, I think. We rushed through
the corrections, the last thoughts, and the toot bag.
And we didn't get my last two fast fives, but whatever.
All right, we'll do those when Ben's gone. Crybaby will fall asleep on us. I want to read this because this is, as far as I know, this is the first time anyone has shared a dream that Discourse was involved with. Because, I mean, the fact that we have really inveigled ourselves into someone's psyche so deeply that they're dreaming about us, I think is pretty hilarious. Can you imagine dreaming about me? Oh, it's going to be a dirty, dirty dream.
I haven't dreamed about you at all.
Awake at 4 a.m. after a strange, surreal dream of myself and some Discourse supporters attending a Q&A time at Green Party MP Gareth Hughes' underground lair. The lair was not so much underground as it was underwater, a giant cavernous undersea hideout. There was an assassination plot. But were we there to stop or complete it? Sadly, that's when I awoke. We did have a body in the boot, though.
Who were they going to assassinate? Were they going to assassinate Gareth Hughes?
I don't know. The environment?
Maybe they were going to assassinate Morgan.
Whales? Who can say? Some trees? Hug them? Are you hugging them or are you choking them? Fucking trees. Last thoughts. No, corrections.
Corrections.
Last week, we read out a part of a sponsor ad for Hewlett-Packard. We may have inadvertently allowed our listeners to believe that HP was a sponsor of the Discourse Weekly show. Their lawyers would like us to make it very clear that they are not and have never been sponsors of the Discourse Weekly show.
They also have never been in the business of making PCs.
we also don't want to give them any of our Google juice, as vast as it is.
Yeah. Oh, I saw it. Oh, hilarious thing, actually, about...
What was it? How to kill a business in a decade, was it, or something? How to kill a business in 1 year?
The committing suicide thing.
It was brilliant.
I've got that somewhere here. It gives you interesting insight into some of the thinking behind the whole fiasco. Oh,
that was the other thing I was going to talk about, and it kind of relates, sort of. A Steve Jobs thing. So, when Steve Jobs... delightfully resigned because he's a skinny cross-dressing pervert. Yeah. As I was led to believe by a popular internet site. There's a lot of people talking about, oh no, what'll happen to Apple now? And talking as if Apple were dead. And two things occurred to me. One is that's really weird. And two is if that's true, if Apple will flounder without Steve Jobs at the helm, then Apple's fucked. Frankly, because he was always not going to be there at some point. The man's got still has got terminal cancer. He's got limited time to live.
I have limited time to live as
well,
Dylan.
Yes, we all do. I mean, that, of course, and there's that as well. Even if it wasn't for his illness, he's getting on, and at some point he's going to die.
He's 55.
Hey, I know, but whatever. It's if the company's entire existence is dependent on one man, then that's fucked. And if people
think
Apple, well, that's it. That can't be. But people talk like it is. And if people think Apple's going to go back to not to being what it once was after what it is now, that is also, it strikes me as incredibly hard to believe. The cat's out of the bag. They've done, Apple's turned a corner to become what it is now. It seems very hard to imagine that without Steve at the helm, it would somehow drift back into beige boxes that don't stack up or whatever.
No, I mean, even if it was he, even if Steve Jobs has been the guy, the only guy behind the turnaround, like you say, he's clearly proven that the path is a good one. So,
well, and he must have, and he must have stacked the company,
just like Henry. You know, Henry Ford. Think like him. Like Henry Ford created the production line, the modern production line, and the modern production line's been used over and over and over again to great effect. So, you know, without Henry Ford being around.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, it's, yeah, and of course the people who are in, you know, they've been Steve-ified. They think the way he thinks now. It's just, it was bizarre to me to see all these people assuming that somehow this was the death of Apple and that the share price would plummet, which it may or may not have. I didn't really pay attention, but it was, it seems ridiculous if it did.
No, they would have priced it in the fucking markets, you know.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was all. It was just that was that part of it was surprising to me, and that whole commentary, which was really common, and I've even heard in podcasts and stuff since. It's just like, you know, what are you talking about? It's a company. It's not the Steve Jobs computer providing place.
And it's also not. Yeah, I mean, oh, I don't know. It's just the complete opposite. If Steve Ballmer resigns tomorrow, then Microsoft's not suddenly going to become an amazing company.
Are you saying Microsoft's not an amazing company? I actually...
Microsoft's a huge company with massive profits, but, you know...
Microsoft and Apple have changed. In my mind, they've sort of swapped places. I find Apple more objectionable than I do Microsoft these days. But that's a personal thing, whatever.
So Hewlett-Packard were the largest PC manufacturer, I believe.
Yes, they were,
About a year ago, they got a new CEO called Leo Apotheker.
Are they still the largest, or...?
Not for long. Who replaced Mark Hurd, who was, I think, fired by the HP board. Leo Apotheker previously worked at
SAP.
And Mark Hurd went to work at Oracle. Guess who the new competition for Hewlett-Packard is going to be? SAP and Oracle.
Why?
So what's Hewlett-Packard going to do once they divest themselves?
So basically, I think that Leo Apotheker, what they're going to do is business services.
So stupid.
It's unbelievably stupid.
Providing and supporting their hardware, aren't they? What else? I mean,
no, I mean, HP do development, software development and stuff in
New
Zealand.
Lots of corporate servers. Right. I think we even have one, actually, or maybe two. But we've got mainly Dell stuff. So even in that space, HP, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I've got in my direct control, I've got... HP workstations and a Dell server.
Yeah. So anyway, I think that this whole thing has been driven by Apotheker, who's come from a business services background, and he has destroyed HP. Apparently their stock, at the time that this article, which was published yesterday, went up, their stock had dropped 49%.
Wow.
Horrendous.
So, I mean, this guy is responsible for some serious hardship, because I mean that's not, I mean it might be just numbers on a balance sheet, you know, it might be numbers in a spreadsheet or a database somewhere, but that's also real jobs that are disappearing.
Is it HP buying into the mobilization of computing, you know, like that some people predict that tablets are the future, and HP felt that they'd failed on the tablet front, and therefore they should just give up on computers entirely because computers were going to be dead as well. I mean,
I don't believe that's
kind of what I heard as well, which was, it's crazy talk, but
I really don't think that's it. I really don't believe that's it. They hadn't had nearly enough time to find out whether the tablet thing was going to work.
Of course, I mean, and that's the ridiculous thing about it is they gave up even before they'd started, essentially.
Yeah. The example given for, you know, how insane this move is, and this is from a former HP board member. What was his name? Tom Perkins, who was a Hewlett-Packard director. What he said was, it is as if Alan Mulally, who apparently is Boeing CEO, joined Ford and announced 6 months later that Ford would now only be making aeroplanes. It's about that crazy. Right. So it's someone who has not made the shift in their thinking when they change from one company to a very, very different company.
He has not really understood what they
and
have.
This must be going to cost literally tens of thousands of jobs. So that is tens of thousands of families, which maybe will be, you know, maybe many of them will be able to find new jobs. But, you know, the market is not at an ideal place to absorb, you know, tens of thousands of, you know, maybe skilled, maybe relatively skilled, unskilled workers. I mean, so that, I mean, this, I mean, you could probably measure, in 6 months, you can probably measure the number of lives that have been taken by this. I'm sure that there are HP people who have already committed suicide over this. I mean, because some people are on the edge already, you know.
So I remember I talked about, remember how crazy I thought it was that Apple bailed on Final Cut Pro the way they did?
Yeah.
And it was the same sort of thing. It's essentially that they, but it's
how much has usage made, gone up in Final Cut, sense, though?
They went the other way. They went from a fairly marginal but very, you know, where they had a huge influence. They kind of got out of that market, which was a small market, and got into a huge market with a sort of I thought it was crazy, like suicide for Apple in a way to bow out of that market the way they did. But now they've gone into this, you know, this is even more than that. This is like HP's bowed out of their primary business. It's just mental.
I don't know. I don't understand.
Do we know? I mean, are they definitely getting out of PCs? And where does that stop?
No. They're not.
They haven't been clear on it. That's the thing. Is their announcement?
What they've said is they're going to try and sell it, I think.
Yeah, but that's getting out of it. I mean,
well, no, but that doesn't mean that it's going to stop existing.
No, the products will
continue. Because IBM got out of PCs and Lenovo picked it all up. And I think that their market share, if anything, possibly has gone up. Actually, I should probably look before I say that because it's a pretty competitive space. But
I would have assumed that. I mean, I always assumed that was going to happen. That if they got out, the computers, the brands would carry on. But just as a company, they're essentially bailing on. That's just incredible. But where do they draw the line? Are HP workstations still going to exist? You know, or are they just getting out of laptops?
That might be a business thing. I mean,
it is. I mean, they're business targeted computers, but it's still crazy.
Speculation. Mm. I don't know. I mean,
it's tough. It's tough because it's stupid. But I mean, the reality is, I wasn't going to buy an HP laptop anyway, or an HP tablet. Did you ever manage to get one of those tablets that you tried to waterbend?
No. Touchpads? I don't think anyone did.
Well, I mean, a couple of thousand people must have. Unless a lot of the retailers
send them straight back to HP. So
yeah, but I think
a lot of those sales, those online sales, were based around people reporting Ingram Micro's numbers that they never had or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. But Acquire had a special sale. Was that just marketing? Was that just people learning that Acquire
exists?
They
might not have actually been able to secure the product. They thought they could.
Yeah. Well, that might be true.
Because Acquire resells.
They sell.
Thank you, Ben.
Have a good night, chaps. See ya.
It's been a joy.
There you go.
What do I normally say? Don't let the door hit your ass on the way out, Ben.
There we go. John Key contributes to this show in wonderful ways.
Who?
John Key.
Does he? Who's that?
Don Key. Who was that?
Who?
Who was that? John Brash, not John Key. Fuck. I'm so confused, politicians. They're all so good.
What else were we going to do? Did you have some more stories that you wanted to do? In your Fast Five?
Not really.
You know, there was one I just saw in the Herald was that Auckland's apparently the 10th most livable city in the world now, according to some random thing. But of course, it's also among the least affordable cities to live in terms of at least housing prices. And the other one was
inexplicably as well.
Eh?
It's inexplicable, frankly. We are so ripped off. I mean, so we're remote. But the thing about shipping is that the cost of moving a boat around is one of the most efficient ways of moving stuff.
There's that, but I mean, there's the housing thing gets me. Like, you know, I earn a pretty good wage, but I still couldn't really buy a house. I mean, I could, but what I'd end up with is much less than I could rent for the same money.
Yeah.
And then there's all sorts of other considerations on top of that, rates and insurance and all these other things that, frankly, at the moment, I don't have to give a shit about.
Yeah. I also make a pretty good wage. My girlfriend makes, like, friggin' two or three times what I make. And
she is two or three times more awesome than you.
At least.
Yeah.
25 to 30 times more, actually, according to independent research, which she conducted.
Obviously.
So, I mean, we could probably buy something, you know, somewhere fucking shit, but I don't think that we could buy the penthouse.
No.
I just don't understand how it got so bad. I mean, combined, we are, you know, some X number of multiples of the average income. And, I mean, it's not like this place is that big.
Holy shit, sorry, I'm just distracted. I went to the HP website, and there's a little ticker at the bottom, you know, news ticker,
yeah,
of different things they came up with, among other things, you know.
The cool new touchpad.
Yeah, it came up with HP announces touchpad availability in New Zealand.
Oh, my God.
Brilliant.
Right hand, left hand.
Someone should probably... Yeah, HP announces HP touchpad availability in New Zealand.
Oh, cool. My God.
Yeah, no, it's just... So that was it. The other thing was about the massive lack of media coverage of the Skynet protests.
Yeah.
200-odd people in Auckland, and the only mention it got nothing on the Herald. There was a mention on Stuff, which was nothing to do with the protest and was more about the fact that... about
they blocked traffic.
They said 50 people blocked traffic for a little while.
Yeah.
And according to the article, got moved on by police, but according to people who were there, the police didn't turn up until after they'd got off the road.
Yeah.
So
what's the story? Is it just our shitty journalists, or is there something dirtier going on?
Well, the conspiracy theory is that the law is for big media, and the Herald and Stuff are big media.
Exactly.
TV3 and TVNZ are big media. I don't think it's that. I just think it wasn't that. Probably the organisers of the protests weren't very good at gathering media, or it's a too complex a story that the media don't want to tell.
This is why it's important to have, I think, state media. So some people would say that was TVNZ. They're fucking not. No, they're fucking not.
That's a shame.
I mean, if we had... No, I don't think Al Jazeera...
RTV is.
Yeah, but... And they have increasing viewership as well, and I don't think they cost much to operate. And people bleated about starting Māori TV, and they shouldn't have. And I think we should have more channels, not less, and we're about to lose TVNZ7, which, as far as I can tell, from you know the little that I watch... broadcast TV, is the most intelligent channel in New Zealand, actually. Yeah, certainly free to air.
There's some... It's a bit like watching cable, like cable access TV sometimes. Like, some of the shows are a bit stilted and a bit clunky from time to time. But
you're talking about in terms of production, but in terms of the ideas that they present...
people who are hosting them as well aren't as you know, what you'd expect. They're not quite as well...
Well, you get better polish from presenting shows more, just like everything else. You know, you get better at it by practicing. If we have a bunch of, you know, slightly lower viewership or greatly lower viewership channels, then we'll have a greater talent pool to call on for the, you know, more widely watched shows on the bigger channels, the channels that are full currently of, you know, Motorway Patrol and Police 10-7 and, yep. You know, How I Married a Dog Whisperer.
This
and
Police 10-7.
I'm not going to diss it. I enjoy that kind of programming, but it's not intelligent programming.
No, it's disappointing, and I agree wholeheartedly we should have a public interest broadcaster.
Yeah.
And
it would be so easy just to say, one is that, and a bunch of the shit that's currently on one is being pushed out to Freeview fucking who cares what. I mean, how many Freeview channels can we have?
Much easier to say TVNZ7 is that.
It would be easier, but they're killing TVNZ7. Yeah. It would be easier. And there's a lot of... I mean, frankly, this might come as a internet nerd who makes shitty productions. To me, it seems like it's really easy to make little TV shows that are just full of ideas from, you know, invited guests. I don't understand why it needs to be expensive to operate TVNZ7.
Well, and essentially it's not. Like, it is, but it's not. You know,
I mean, what is $10 million a year? What is $15 million a year in the greater terms of the you know, the public coffers?
And TVNZ7 can operate a lot cheaper than an equivalent kind of channel that's not operated out of TVNZ, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, shares resources with the other channels.
Yeah.
Which, you know, make obviously a cost saving.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially...
If you can use editing dead time, if you can use the same suites, if you can use the same production studios, and certainly use the same broadcast equipment, the same engineers.
They still pay for those studios, but they have the studios and they pay a good rate for them. They have, I mean, the main thing is the broadcasting facility, you know, that's all there and exists already.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff. But it's really disappointing to see it go, to be honest. I'm frustrated about it because it should stay. It is beneficial, we lose it. But I mean, it is where does the money come from?
From advertising. Yeah. I mean, how many ads do you need to sell to cover a very low production cost?
Yeah, but it's also very low viewership, which makes the ads, you know, so an ad in prime time on TV 2, for example, is going to cost you about $15,000 for 30 seconds. So, and that's for, and you know, and that's, we're talking about shows that get like a 25 to 30 share. So 25 to 30% of the television watching audience is watching those shows. So if you scale that back to what TVNZ 7 currently achieves and might be expected to achieve, your market value is, your advertising value is a lot lower.
According to a post on TVNZ from just a couple of days ago, they paid a dividend to the government of $13.8 million for 2011. I guess the year to what?
I can't remember when the TVNZ financial.
And the annual cost, I understand, of TVNZ 7 is actually something around that. I heard something like 15 million.
16 million, I think, was the last number. Well, that was right. What they funded it for.
So the government loses the dividend, which what were they going to do with it anyway? They were going to buy a bunch more high-performance BMWs or something, some bullshit. Or they were going to spend it on airfares to who gives a shit where. Instead, we could have a public broadcaster that actually, you know, does the job of a public broadcaster. It does what it says on the tin. People don't understand how valuable that is. Watch something like Al Jazeera. Watch something like Deutsche Welle.
Australian ABC has, you know.
Yeah.
It has advertising, doesn't it?
Don't know.
Does it? I don't even know now.
Not in Australia, I don't know.
Mm. But they make good quality shows out of there, and it's a public broadcaster. But I don't know. I think we would benefit from having a public broadcaster. I don't know how we can make it happen. Maybe if the government changes, but it might be too late by then.
I think that if TVNZ upper management, chief amongst them Rick Ellis, weren't so stale, Rick Ellis has been in that job a decade too long.
I've met him. I've spoken to him a couple of times. I think he is probably more in favour of the idea than we think. But he does. The problem is,
but he's not doing anything to fund it in some alternate.
The problem is he is beholden to the board, and the board is beholden to the shareholder, and the shareholder demands a dividend.
Yeah.
And you know, he can't say to the board, and the board can't say to the shareholder, "Well, we're not going to pay a $13 million dividend because we've decided to spend that money on funding a zero profit television network for the public good, because that's not part of their remit from their shareholder, and it's not, you know, so it's just not going to happen. It's like, you know, the CEO of Telecom couldn't say, well, actually, we're not going to return such a big dividend to the shareholders this year because we've decided to give free phones to a whole crap load of people we think deserve free phones.
But their job is meant to be state broadcaster.
No, it's not. Well, it once
well they're called TVNZ 7. I mean, sorry, they're called TVNZ.
Yeah. But I mean, but you know, any obligation they
have. They are a broadcaster. They're our biggest one, and they bear our flag.
And they're government owned.
And they're government owned. They're owned by us. It's meant to be the job.
Clearly in law to be a commercial state owned, crown owned enterprise that returns a dividend to the crown. And unless that changes, and it is relatively simple to change. The government can change it by simply reenacting law.
Well, it was just changed recently, right?
Yeah, well, the charter was abolished, which was the last sort of vestige of public broadcasting that TVNZ had. But long before that, it had been made a primarily commercial organisation.
The thing is, if we lose it, if we completely lose it, and we're well along the track, it's very hard to get it back.
Exactly. If, oh, it's going to be hard to get back. If there's some way to keep it. I mean, the other options, you know, in terms of funding, again, the only options in terms of funding it from the public purse can't, basically, because New Zealand On Air is another potential source of funds, but they are, you know, very restricted in the way they can spend their money.
And they don't have very much, right?
Well, they have quite a lot, but they can only spend it in certain ways.
Is it a lot?
Yeah. New Zealand On Air has a pretty decent amount of money. I don't know what the Platinum Fund's worth. Platinum Fund is what... So when the charter was disestablished, New Zealand On Air got a new fund of money called the Platinum Fund, which is intended to fund public interest television, basically. So what TVNZ was to do with the charter, NZ On Air is now supposed to do with contestable funds through the Platinum Fund. So potentially all New Zealand public broadcasters, so public free-to-air broadcasters, so TVNZ, MediaWorks and Prime, can all contest for that money to make shows in the public good. So that's what happened to the charter. So they could abolish the Platinum Fund, and the Platinum Fund could fund TVNZ7, but that's not... And arguably, I think there's some truth to the fact that that's not the way to do it.
Years, 2011, any month, any broadcaster, any genre, who's, what's been funded? Damn it, that's not what I want to know. Man, a lot of things get a lot of money.
Yep. Well, not a lot of money, not very much money.
Well, I mean, I think about what I could make with $2.6 million.
Here's what the Platinum Fund is.
I've never heard of City Under Siege.
That's because it hasn't been on air yet. It's the first series.
Oh, that explains that.
The Platinum Television Fund is a special contestable fund of over $15 million. The fund,
right, and that's how much TVNZ7 was costing.
Yeah, basically. Well, no, that was funded differently. The fund supports programs with something important to say about New Zealand.
Yeah.
So it doesn't support, you know, that's not going to be...
Discourse is going to get some of that slosh.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. Good luck with that. Because you have to be a known producer.
It's not even that.
Such an old boys club, man, New Zealand production stuff.
So, okay, here's some Platinum funding. What do we got? Black Ink Media for Māori Television is doing Ngā Reo Hui. I don't know what that is. It's an arts and culture show.
What was that? Hue?
iWorks for TV1 is doing With Strings Attached.
Yeah.
They're getting some money for that.
It's about periods, isn't it?
It's also an arts and culture show.
Mm, my bad.
Close
to the same.
They've reserved $1.8 million of this money for a 2011 historical docudrama strand, so that will be...
Oh, that'll be really popular. That one's going to explode. You know what they should do?
Fucking... Two episodes.
I'll tell you what they need to bring back. The dog show.
Wild at Heart by
just,
Natural History.
Just absorb those gems of knowledge. Tell you what.
Yeah. So City Under Siege, $2.6 million for that. One 120-minute tele feature, I guess.
Yeah,
for TV1, and that is a Platinum Fund.
Yeah.
Show, and What Really Happened, the Women's Vote. Also a 90-minute tele feature for TV1. So that's what Platinum Fund money went to in the last funding round. It did not include, for example, a Kapa Haka show, Fresh Aotearoa, the Christmas comedy special, Beyond the Dark Lands, Coasters, Country Calendar. I don't know why it didn't include Country Calendar. It should have included Country Calendar. Missing Pieces.
Wow, the NZ on screen player buffers a hell of a lot before it starts playing. What is this thing doing? Just start. There we go.
Yeah, that should come back. So, anyway.
Just shut up and enjoy it.
Well, I'm going to go now. They kept the kangaroo. Just kept the kangaroo, is it?
Welcome to Agraria's Eden Park, the Akoya Dog Trial Domain.
Yeah, no, that's not the music anymore. Man, that was so good! There's just something about dogs wrangling sheep. It's better than watching golf.
It is surprising to me that hasn't come back, that someone hasn't
It'd be
put
cheap.
Back on TV.
I mean, you need a few cameras. Okay.
Yeah, you could do it cheap
But
now.
It's still cheap. And I'm sure they still have these competitions. And they'd be gagging to have people there. Then they can sell some friggin' sponsorship on their shirts and ruin the whole thing. I bet actually it would suck now, because it wouldn't just be, you know, gentlemen farmers wearing trilbies and jackets and ties. It would be dickheads in what looked like rugby jerseys covered in sponsors' names and bullshit like that. Maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. Just bring it back the way it was, I say. Bring it back the way it was in, like, 1981. Oh, it was beautiful.
All right, I'm going.
It was a gentler time.
I'm going. I'm leaving.
Thank you, Dylan, once again.
Had enough.
It has been an absolute charm.
You're listening to Extra Large on Discourse.
But Extra Large on Discourse is just about to end. Chat room, once again, for those of you who are still there, it's been grand having you. And Dylan, you also. And Ben, who's already gone, you too. Have you got a kid? Well, the thing's gone now. He's disappeared. That's probably quite good timing. I was going to ask him how his kid is, if he has his kid on him. But honestly, I mean, who really cares? It's not actually important, is it? Man, listen how clean my audio is when the Skype's gone. Silent. Beautiful. Anyway, it's been lovely having you here. Join us again in a couple of weeks. Enter the competition, discoursecoinz.com/comp. Really, any talent will do. But a really crappy talent is less likely to win. So just, you know, maybe enter a really shitty one right now and then think about a better one later. Double your chances. Or more.
Fish and chips.
This show is cancelled.
Beep.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.